Hey everyone, it's Jordan. I know some of you were probably wondering if we would have addressed last night at Crew the things that have been happening in our nation and even to our own people, if we would have addressed that. And for lots of reasons, we didn't. But I figured I would take a few minutes just to send you all some thoughts. So if you're hearing this is really meant for our high school students, but I wanted to share just some things from my heart for you all, especially for any of you in high school who have just felt the weight of everything today. If you've gone through the day and it's just kind of been heavy, everything has kind of felt heavy and weighed you down, this is especially for you. 24 years ago today, I was at school and kind of wondering maybe a lot of the same things you're wondering now. As 24 years ago today, our nation was attacked and people died. And it was pretty terrifying, especially as a kid when you have one view of the world and then that view is shattered. You know, you think that evil and atrocity and violence are in some other far off corner of the world. Surely not here. But just like 24 years ago today, sometimes you get a glimpse into how evil the world actually is. Sometimes the veil is pulled back a little, and you see the world for what it really is. And so our feelings in response to that are real. Whether it's anxiety, or whether you're terrified, or whether you're sick with grief, or just overwhelmed, whether you feel numb to the whole thing, all those feelings are real. And I think it's something we talked about not too many months ago, but you know, when Adam and Eve were made, they were placed in a garden, and they were made very good, and they were without sin, they were innocent, they were good. There is no evil in the world until the one who is called the enemy, the one who is the father of lies from the beginning, came in and deceived them. He lied to them. He told them to eat from the tree that God had said not to eat from. And if you know how the story goes, they did. They listened. And it is because of that one act that our world is broken. That sin entered the world when they disobeyed God's orders and listened to a liar. You know, they had the tree of life. That's all they needed to eat from was that one tree, but the tree that they chose to eat from that was forbidden to them was a tree of knowledge, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And knowledge is not inherently a bad thing. But in the end of Ecclesiastes chapter 1, which if you're in the high school Bible study this past Saturday, we actually read it, at the end of Ecclesiastes 1 is this one verse: with an increase of knowledge comes an increase of sorrow. With more wisdom, there is more grief. And some of you know, I often think of that verse when I think of your generation, because you all have been exposed to things on such a scale that no one in the history of humanity has really known. And when you learn something, it doesn't mean you're necessarily better for it. And when you're seeing things and being exposed to things, it doesn't mean you're necessarily better for it. It doesn't mean you always gain, you're always better for it. You know, there's that old saying that ignorance is bliss, because we don't have a framework to intake evil and atrocity and just be okay. You know, Adam and Eve were made good. They were made very good. And yet there was a tree of knowledge that they weren't ready for. And maybe at some point in the future, they would have matured into that. And then one day they could take from it. But you know, they didn't have this framework for evil, but God does. God has a framework for evil. He can see evil and it can offend him. He can be affected by it, but he's not undone by it. But when we see evil, when humans see evil and see it on such a scale and in such a depth, it kind of leads you into two places, because we don't have that framework. It either drags you into it until you end up doing the same evil, or it undoes you because it's just so wicked. And, you know, our parents in that garden ate from that tree that they weren't ready for, and sin and brokenness and death come right along with it, right into our world, and that is the world you inherit. Not only that, it's the condition we inherit. And so in our natural state, evil is disorienting. It's terrifying. It's upsetting. It might make us incredibly emotional and distraught. It might even make us incredibly apathetic, even cynical, because it's just too much to bear. And if that's where it ended, if that's all we have to go on, then we would have no good reason to stop our despair. There's no way we could be consoled in our grief, and we could not be comforted in all of our worries and all of our fears. Unless there is a third option, other than being dragged into that same evil or being undone by it, unless there's something else that when we behold evil, when evil rears its ugly head, that there's something else it can actually do for us. Because there is a God of this age. There is a God of this age that has power to do terrible things through evil people and to commit unspeakable horrors through those people. And yet the real God stepped down into this awful world and then subjected himself to that unspeakable evil. And he was put to death by it. He allowed himself to be tortured and exposed and humiliated and mocked and beaten and then hanged on a tree until he suffocated to death in front of the watching world. All the while they made fun of him. He gets it. He gets just how incredibly evil the world is, and he allowed himself to be killed by it. And yet, because this one person is unlike every other person, because he doesn't have any inherent evil in himself, he can take it. Like a hero jumping on a hand grenade. Like someone covering a fire until they snuff it out, even if it means they're the one who burns. This is the only way we can have a third option when it comes to evil. If we have someone who subjected themselves to that evil for us, and then by their death offer something different. Because then death doesn't have the end of the story, because the only real weapon in evil's hands is death. So see, Jesus didn't just allow evil to kill him. He undid evil's one weapon. The one thing that evil can really do is threaten to kill you, threaten to take your life, and end it right there. But by Jesus taking that death and punishment for you, by him subjecting himself to that evil, he then undoes death. He's not undone by evil. Instead, he undoes the one thing that evil can do, which is threaten you with death. And so by his death, he puts death to death. Because Jesus was innocent, he had done no wrong, the grave couldn't hold him. Death didn't have the final say because he was like one jumping on a fire to snuff it out. And so there's no fire left. And so I just have three quick things to think about tonight. This doesn't mean we're going to solve all the problems. You know, this isn't going to put to bed every single question you might have. There's so much more that could be said. But I just want to give you three quick things. Because what do you do in a time like this? What do you do when things are terrible and upsetting and unsure? There's lots of things you could go look at. There's lots of things you could run to right now, things you could turn to for comfort or for answers or for whatever. But here's what that Savior says to go do. Seek first his kingdom. Above all things, seek his kingdom. If you know Jesus, then in whatever way you need to, just go to him. He's the king. You know, whenever a five-year-old gets scared, you know, what do they do? Where do they run to? They run to dad. They look for their parents and they run. They don't care what anyone else thinks about them. They're not worried about what someone's going to say or what they look like. They just run. They run to the Father. They run to the one who they know is safe in a world that doesn't feel safe right now. They run to the one who can scoop them up and embrace them and hold their sorrows and give them a place to cry, to be worried, to tremble, to even be angry. And they can let that little five-year-old just beat on them instead of themselves or on someone else, because the world is really scary in that moment. And so all they do is run. They run and all their emotions and all their cries and all that they feel, and they run, they turn, and they run to the one who they know is safe. Some of you heard me say this before, but childlike faith is not childish. Childlike faith is not childish. And so if you know Jesus, you know the Savior. Run to him. Whatever way that makes sense for you, run to him. And if you don't know him yet, understand that this world really is as evil as you think it is today, if not far more so. And there is a God of this age. He is a spiritual enemy that is real, and his agents are real and active. They are the sons of disobedience. That's what the Bible calls them. They are active and they have a mission, and that mission is to destroy you. And that enemy, just like he has been from the beginning, is a liar and a murderer, and he's roaming around like a lion seeking those he will devour. He's very purposeful. He wants to destroy you. And maybe the best way he can do that is to get your eyes fixed on the wrong thing, so you're distracted just long enough so you never come to know the Savior who has actually ended the game already. But the thing is, the Lord is being patient with you, and you don't know how much time he's really giving you. You don't know, and so turn to his Son, who stepped down to put death to death by his own death. And then that death becomes a doorway. And Jesus' death becomes a doorway for you if you believe in him. If you say, Lord, this world is too scary, too crazy, I need help. And see, the thing is, if I'm honest with you, I have the same capacity for evil and wickedness that you've seen on display in this world. If left to my own devices, my heart is as terrible and as awful as any villain or criminal you've seen in the news lately. And so I can't look at those who've done unspeakable things lately and think, oh, what a subhuman monster. Because if I really look at them, I think, well, you know, in my own natural state, I am no better. I am no different. And my wicked tendencies in my own heart, if left to my own devices, I would be just as guilty before God as they are. Because unless the Lord had gotten a hold of my heart and brought me to really see his son for what he's done and grant me the gift of faith that I could believe in him, I not only would I not be talking to you right now, I'd be just as guilty. Because the world is not some conceptual empty place that's just inherently evil. It's filled with evil people. And that's how we all start out, as evil people. And then we just perpetuate that evil unless someone comes in and stems the tide. When someone comes in and pays your fine and stops the bleeding and pays the price so that you can be forgiven. And then he can say, though you may die, yet shall you live. Why? Because he's the resurrection. Because as the Savior, he undid death. And so that's the first thing. Seek first his kingdom. Run after him. He gets it. He knows how evil this world really is. He's not going to be surprised with your fear, with your worry, with your anxiety, with your doubt, with your apathy. You can go to the King. First and foremost, run to him. And then secondly, and maybe this even just needs to be said more often, you are not responsible for this world. You are not responsible for all the world's troubles or trying to fix them. And you belong to a generation and a time that really nothing on this earth has ever really seen before. It's never really seen anything like this. We're you know, evil has always been a thing. Terrible people have always done terrible things, but now it's all just delivered to your doorstep. It's all on your phone that you can look at for free, and it might even be put in front of your eyes whether you wanted to see it or not. And that does something to you, because with more knowledge comes more sorrow. The more you are aware of things, the more you know how terrible things actually are. And it can cause your soul to get really noisy and make you really upset. It might leave you feeling paralyzed with worry that you've got to do something about it, that you've got to make it right. Or it might leave you feeling like you don't know enough, and so you need to keep seeking answers and getting more information and filling your head with more stuff out there. Or you might just wall up and cover your emotions. Maybe even try to impress with yourself with how much you can take, thinking all the world is, you know, evil being delivered to your doorstep doesn't actually have an effect on you. But evil does affect you. Knowing that people lost their lives yesterday affects us. And just as it did in my generation over 20 years ago, when many people lost their lives in a single day with one act of unspeakable evil, it affects us today. But you are not responsible for fixing it. There's only one Savior, and he's good. He's capable, and he will make all things new. He will make all this right. He will bring justice. He will wipe away every tear, and he will set up his kingdom on this earth where there is no more sin and no more death and no more sorrow. And as the day ends, we will be one day closer to that reality. But you are not responsible for this world. You are only responsible for what you do in it. So seek first his kingdom. Seek the Lord while he can still be found. And seek the one who was the lamb who was slain so he could become the lion who rules. And then if you are hidden with him, if he is yours and you are his, you have nothing to fear. So though you may walk through a valley that feels like death, you can fear no evil. Not because evil's not real, not because you choose to ignore it, not because you blind yourself to it for the rest of your life, that it never hopefully rears its ugly head again, but because the one in the valley with you disarmed evil's one weapon. And so you can cast every one of your anxieties on him, give everything over to him. And you can do that rather radically. Every one of those feelings of worry, of terror, of apathy, you can give all of it over to him. You can see that almost like if you could put it in a box in front of you and just hand it over him to say and say, not mine anymore, yours. He gets it, and he has the ability to actually bear it. We're not made to witness terrible evil, but Jesus has the ability to look at evil and not be undone by it. And that's exactly what he did on the cross, by allowing his body to be crushed, allowing evil to kill him. But by his own power, he raised himself from the grave to say, evil, your one weapon doesn't work anymore. And so all of your worry, all of your fear, all your anxiety, all your grief, they're all real emotions, but don't let them become your rulers. Because you have one true ruler who says, cast all that on me. I'm so much bigger than you realize. throw it all on me, and I'll swallow it up, because I suffered in your place. I took all of that and more upon myself. Give it over. Give that over to me. It's not yours to bear. So seek him first. You're not responsible for this world, so cast everything on him. And lastly, go be with each other. Be with your families. Be with your siblings. Be with your friends. Be with those who know the Lord. It's one of the greatest gifts he's given us. It's each other. So we don't just get to know him. We get to know each other. And we don't just enjoy him. We enjoy each other. And that might be the break you need right now. That might be the respite you really need after a hard week. Go be with each other. Take a break from your phone, from the internet, from Instagram. Whatever it is that tends to have your attention, go be with his people, that he might nourish your soul through his people. So seek first the kingdom, because the king is good. Know that he's not holding you accountable for this world, so cast it all on him, and then go be with the king's people. And may that bless your soul and give you rest, that you would sleep tonight and sleep well. I'll see you all later.